And hello again. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trammell. Here it's August 3rd, joined again by the derelict.
I was thinking I should be demoted from co-host.
No, it's fine. I mean, you get busy and then you know, you're preaching at other places. Like, the church hasn't seen you in weeks.
I mean, things happen, dude. I mean, it's not just me. I mean, you were AWOL in North Carolina for a week.
Yeah, well, it's my podcast.
Yeah, I know, which is why you can't go AWOL for a week in North Carolina.
We've had some good special guests, too, though I think, you know, hopefully you can go over the bar that was set last year by someone bearing their soul about the loss of their child. Like, I had people respond that was like, this is so helpful. I had also people respond that was like, there's no way I can listen to this. Like, cause sometimes you're driving down the road, right? And you're like, I don't want to go into some dark place, right?
You
might want to feel a little bit uplifted. Right. They see the title and they're like, I'm not listening to it. Hopefully, people don't see you back on the train and say, well, I'm not listening to this.
I'm not listening to this. Todd's back. I need to check out last week. I haven't listened to that, but definitely some heavy stuff on,
it is,
on losing
but,
a child.
I mean, here's the thing. God drags us through the mud sometimes, and we're better for it. And it's... You would never say you're better for these experiences in that sense, but you would definitely start to mature somewhat in the ways that you're able to help others.
That's right.
I mean, because that's something, you remember what it said about Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus, as a high priest, he was tempted as all points as we are, yet without sin.
Right.
And the reason was so that he could help us.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there was something about him going through that that allowed him to be adequately there to provide grace in time of need. So
yeah, right. And the text in Hebrews also says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So, you know, when God drags us through the mud, there's an opportunity to be obedient in a time of suffering that is just more challenging.
Yeah. So it's a good podcast. It is a tough, I mean, it's just kind of a tough listen, even though I thought they were just going to lose it, but I mean, they didn't. I think they...
Oh, with Summer on it, you're saying they?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was
both of them.
Trifecta.
Yeah, and it was hard, but I'm, you know, some days you need those, and people can click on it and listen, and some days you need this one, which is the opposite of down and out. This is one about you being just a complete fool.
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about being drugged through the mud, as you said a moment ago, I mean, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. That's how he is characterizing his ministry as he's writing to the Corinthians in the first letter to the Corinthians. And it's a church that had a lot of problems. It's a church that wanted to undermine the ministry of Paul at times. And so he does something that's pretty dramatic when he gets sarcastic in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he's like, you guys are kings. You've reigned without us. He's using sarcasm, right? That literary device that makes a powerful point. But then he also says, as you noted, fools for Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Verse 10? Is that where you're at?
Verse 10, yeah. Sorry, we're kind of in the dark here, so it's hard for me to see. I need my Bible on my phone, because then if it's dark, it's lit up.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. I mean, it is a funny phrase. He says, we're fools for Christ, but you're wise.
You're prudent.
We're weak, but you're strong. You are distinguished. We're without honor. And it's funny. I mean, we could talk about the ways that he used it. I think we really want to use it in a different way tonight to talk about being fools for Christ. Because when you were working on this podcast, you know, we were kind of talking back and forth, the gospel in a very real way is one that is just completely foolish.
Yeah.
You just had to write down everything about Christianity, like pretty much most of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And the culture that we live in, right, is all about taking care of ourselves, you know, making money, gaining possessions, having power, having, you know, fun, pleasurable experiences in life, traveling, seeing the world, all manner of different things. And, you know, Paul uses the phrase fools for Christ kind of in a sarcastic way, but there's definitely a very real way in which when we follow the teachings of Jesus, we are going to appear to the world to be a fool. And, you know, my response to that is, yeah, we're fools for Christ. But a lot of teaching that we can go into. But when Jesus says, the greatest among you shall be your servant, it's like, who's the greatest? The one who's cleaning up after everybody else.
Well, nobody wants to be called a fool. And nobody wants to be the dumb one. You know,
right.
It was the kids, they're going to start this thing at Central Park. It's like karate. I forget what they call it, Hapkido or something like that. Some version. I don't want to offend anybody that knows all the different disciplines. But Asher's up there talking earlier today, and that's all he does is talk. And he's like, you know, we're excited about the class. Amelia says she guarantees there's going to be somebody in there that's just dumb. And Asher explains what he means. You know, he's like, they're going to be somewhere, and you're going to be fighting, and you're going to have his arms open, and people are just going to be punching him in the stomach. And he's just going to be sitting there getting beat up.
And Amelia personally guarantees this.
Well, they're just thinking like, and you know, you see TV shows, you know, in the ensemble of characters, there's always like the dumb one.
A dumb
you know?
Head.
You know, there's always that one off funny character. I mean, Disney shoves an animal in all of them that's like,
you know,
just the stupid, funny sidekick Jar Jar Binks thing.
Jar Jar Binks, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. And, you know, what I told Asher is what, you know, he needed to hear. Asher, I can guarantee you there'll be a dumb one there. It just may be you.
Yeah. Like you're going to be there, son.
like one of our kids may be the dumbest one there. And he's like, ah, oh, well, I mean, that's just the truth, right? And you know, you look at situations like that in this life with humor, but from a spiritual standpoint, this real. Like we're taking on the mantle of the fools in this life.
Right.
You know, Paul sums up that concept by saying, you know, if all we got is hope in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied.
Yeah, because we have spent time, energy, resources, and it's all for nothing.
Yeah, and so I want us to, in this podcast, and you can go in whatever direction you want to, but I want you to embrace and appreciate being a fool for Christ.
Right.
Because when we're weak, then we're strong.
Right.
And sometimes if we kind of push back on wanting to be a fool and we want to be the big one and the strong one and the important one, well, then we lose.
Right.
And God has just told us all throughout the scriptures that the only way to get ahead is the only smart one is the fool.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good to reflect on that tonight.
Yeah. The smart one is the fool, right? The great one is the servant. The one who is the last shall be first. It's hard to live that out day by day, but certainly Jesus gives us some teaching that can help us, and you know, we'll just know as we do it that people in the world are going to think we're crazy.
Well, let's just lay this foundation. So you've got to understand that this is not a natural thing,
right?
This is something that Christians learn in Christ, from Christ. And you're not just going to naturally think this way. And that's why it's so important for people that come to God, come to church. You know, they have a lot of these preconceptions with them of this is how things are supposed to go. And yet when we learn and really absorb Christ's character traits, things kind of turn on their head. And this is one of those things, like nobody wants to be the fool.
Right.
And so you've got to be taught this from Jesus that you're gonna be the radical one.
Right. And what are some examples? I mean, what do you think we should highlight as far as examples of Jesus' teaching that when we follow that teaching, we're going to look like an idiot?
I mean, the number one thing for me has always been a Christian's approach to money. I mean, when you think about the entire goal of the world is to accumulate wealth, to spend it on yourself, maybe save for your family, generally invest so that you can be more lavish on yourself because you've got more of it. And then here Jesus, like at every turn, it's like, beware of covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Yeah. You know, you need to sell your stuff and have treasure in heaven. You can't serve this and God.
Yeah.
Nothing about it makes sense, right? It is 100% an act of faith.
Right.
Because when you give away, like the widow with two mites, all that she had to live on.
Right.
You're being a fool for God because nothing about this makes sense. And that's what really separates real Christians from people in the world. And I say real Christians, people in the world, because there's an aspect of some Christians that still adopt that worldly mentality.
Right.
And godliness is a means of great gain. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, we can have our cake and eat it too. And I don't recommend those people to you. So to me, this is my number one. I mean, you just have such a different approach than the world does about the things of this world. And you're going to look like an absolute idiot.
Yeah. And I definitely think that is a good one. It's hard because we want to hold on to our stuff. We want to have a safety net. It's hard to take Jesus' teaching, what is it, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, you know, where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break in and steal. It's hard not to do that. It's hard to really focus on being like Jesus and just giving it away.
Well, and not even just like Jesus. I mean, how often have you heard lessons, Acts chapter 2, people selling their possessions,
right,
distributing to each as they had need. They right. had all things in common. Right. And when you look at Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, I mean, people are laying stuff at the feet of Barnabas, and the only thing Ananias and Sapphira got in trouble for was not that they weren't willing to sell some land and not they weren't willing to give some of it away. They just lied about how much they were giving.
Right.
But I mean, even the whole concept, like in today's materialistic world, Ananias and Sapphira would probably be like praised for that generosity.
Yeah. That's
and the funny. Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to kill these people over here.
Yeah. And definitely thinking about like what Barnabas did in Acts 4, like he sold a tract of land. You know, we're not told how many acres or, you know, how big it was, but a piece of land is not something like, oh, I gave a guy $20 to get, you know, a couple gallons of milk and a loaf of bread.
They're putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, that's a significant gift.
I mean, and do people do that today? And, you know, again, in the same lessons you hear, like, well, that wasn't a need, you know, right. today. It was a need back then. You
right.
had people that, you know, would abandon everything to yep. come to Jerusalem, and now they're going to stay here. And you know, I'm sure there's some real things there. But, you know, to see this as an example and then never see anyone do it.
Right.
It kind of makes you wonder, you know, yeah. how much of fools for Christ do we really want to be? Because
right.
Paul could say through the Spirit, you know, naked we came in this world, naked we're going to return.
Right.
With food and clothes, therewith we should be content. It didn't even have the big three of a house.
Exactly.
Just like food and clothes.
We say food, clothing, and shelter like that's what he said.
We just throw it in there, shelter. But it's not.
Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
So I think when done right, not only are you going to be fools to the world, you're going to be fools to people in the church because they're going to think, well, you don't need to do that.
One thing I'd say about this is like there's some teaching where Jesus gives us pretty clear teaching that we can't misunderstand. Like when he says, give to him who asks of you, right? I mean, that's there's not a lot of criteria there. You know, someone asks you for something and you give. You know, that's certainly a time when the rubber can meet the road. And, you know, I'll just share this term I think was used a number of years ago after one of the big tsunamis, like in Indonesia. The Red Cross was getting all these donations. And then at some point they said, we think what has set in is called compassion fatigue. And I think that could happen to us sometimes. I know it's happened to me where like I'm all gung-ho to give to someone and I give to someone and the next day someone else needs someone and I can give to that person. And the next day someone needs someone's like, and then like a week down the road on that train, that fatigue has set in. And certainly Jesus gives us an example of someone who never got this condition known as compassion fatigue.
Give to everyone who asks of you, Luke 6:30. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back.
Yeah. And like, what about late in Hebrews where he's like, you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Like joyfully seizure your property. Yeah. I mean, have you ever had compassion fatigue? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Because I'm human. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I get fatigued with my kids. Like, I love my kids.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, at the end of the day, you're like, which one of y'all are going to die today? You know, I'm going to kill one of y'all.
Yeah, I don't know if that's compassion fatigue. That's, I mean, that's just being real.
Just being a parent. Well, I mean, again, Paul, Galatians 6. I mean,
yeah,
don't grow weary in doing good, because we're going to reap if we faint not. I mean, just we have to be encouraged to continue that, because what Jesus says will drain you.
Yeah.
Verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High.
Yeah.
For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. A brother called me the other day and asked for some advice. He was like, hey, somebody asked me for money. And they said, you know, can I have several thousand dollars to buy a car? And this brother was asking my advice. And here's the advice I gave him. You said he's going to pay you back. I can just guarantee you from experience, you're never going to see any of that money again.
Yeah.
Now, are you comfortable with that? And if you're comfortable with that, then that's fine. But you need to go into this with, you know, no strings attached. Because if you have strings on your things and your money, and all, you're going to be disappointed. Sometimes it's a crushing weight for somebody that's poor.
Right.
You know, if you've got the money to give them, just expect nothing in return.
Yeah.
And he goes on to explain here in this passage, if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners live to sinners,
right?
Lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount.
Right.
Like, there's nothing inherently Christian about giving somebody a loan. But you want to be a fool for Christ? Just drop them some money and say, I'll probably never see it again.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely think, like, the whole idea of loaning someone money is, I mean, it's not, you can do it at times, but if you can just give it, it's a whole lot better. Because you don't have to worry about expectations not being met and relationships being strained because life happens, and, you know, what someone intends to do is not always what they're able to do.
Well, and again, you know, there's 100 facets of scripture that talk about these things, and I don't want to undermine that some people need to have accountability, and, you know, they don't need to be a mooch off everybody. And sometimes it is good for people to follow through on their word if they're going to do something. But just from a kindness, being a fool for Christ standpoint, like, Jesus takes it to a level that's unheard of when he includes even loving your enemies and doing good and lending. Could you imagine your enemy coming up and saying, hey, my car's broke down.
Yeah.
Can I borrow $3,000? Well, the greatest kindness of a human would be, I lent even to my enemy.
Right.
He's going to pay me back. But to give.
Yeah, and the world's eyes is one standard, and in Christ is just above and beyond.
So, again, there's just a handful of people that I've met in my life that have tried to go to this length of generosity.
Right.
And it does tend to stand out. Like, you're like, that guy's dumb, or that lady, you know, like, this is, yeah, this is so unexpected. You can't help but paint them as a fool.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just dumb. You know, I'm thinking about the text in Luke 14, where Jesus says, when you give a reception, invite the lame or the poor or the blind, you know, he says, because they have no means to repay you. But when you mentioned Jesus offering the reward or promising the reward, that's one thing that we need to remember, is it doesn't have anything to do with this life many times. And in Luke 14, he says, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. And I remember, you know, talking to Gary Sandusky years ago, and him just saying, you know, the Lord's going to pay my bills. You know, and he was someone that was always just giving and helping and serving. And we got into this, we were at a gospel meeting in Crab Orchard, Kentucky one summer, and we just went to hear him preach and stayed the night or something. And the lady at the house said, man, sure wish I had a new bathtub. Well, we started, like, that night renovating, or the next day or something, renovating her bathroom. You want to talk about fools for Christ? We couldn't get the new bathtub to fit. And
so you ruined her house.
Yeah, we basically sabotaged it. I think
you're just a fool at that point.
No, we 100% were. But Gary, you know, he was going to figure it out. I mean, he was a man. I was like 20 years old. I was like a man in training at that point. I don't know exactly what he did. He may have ended up, like, giving them the check from his gospel meeting proceeds. I don't know that. But I mean, he was an example of someone. He always, like, look, the Lord's going to pay my bills. You know, and would give time, energy, effort, money. And when you see an example like that, it just impressed me so much as a young person, because it was just so encouraging, even though he was crazy, like fool for Christ. It was like, didn't matter. He was just always giving anything, everything he had.
That's great. Do you think he would help me in my bathroom?
He certainly would be willing. He would probably tell you not to contact insurance or any like trained company. He was all about like
doing it himself,
jack of all trades. Like, just if I can't fix it, it doesn't need to be fixed.
Well, okay. So mine was the money thing. I mean, if you're thinking about ways you could be a fool for Christ, I mean, you gotta. Yeah. What's in your mind?
I mean, I got a couple, but one that I think is definitely a big one. You know, the simple teaching when Jesus says, whoever, you know, hits you, turn to him the other cheek. You know, the world is all about retaliation. And part of being a fool for Christ is you don't have to get even. You don't have to get revenge. You don't have to get even. You don't have to retaliate. You know, just the idea of taking something that is abusive in whatever way it is, you know, maybe it's a verbal thing, maybe it's a physical thing. You know, a lot of times it's just something that happens in your marriage or with your kids or in the workplace. You know, in the workplace, everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be known. Everybody wants, you know, their voice to be, you know, listened to and their opinion vindicated. And Jesus just, he's not in that race of having to always get even, get revenge. And when you see that in someone that just doesn't have that spirit to always have to get even, I mean, it's a powerful thing that they don't get sucked into the fight or the argument, you know, whatever it might be.
Well, Jesus is always more pronounced because he never did anything to instigate stuff. You know, when I talk to my kids about revenge, like don't take revenge, well, there's fault on all sides.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, somebody said something mean and, you know, I was asked the other day, they had some kind of fight. I mean, I could never get to the bottom of it. It was like, why did they do that? And they would bring up something else. And it's like, well, why did you do that? Well, they did this. And I mean, like after you like 10 couldn't. Questions, like I couldn't figure it out.
Everybody line up and get a spanking.
I mean, you just couldn't figure it out. But with Jesus, for him not to take revenge, there was no fault on his side.
Yeah, no, and he definitely didn't instigate. But a lot of times people instigated stuff with him. And he still, I mean, he had a way of obviously being, you know, absolutely wise and absolutely able to navigate circumstances where people were trying to instigate things with him. But a lot of times his spirit was just so peaceful and loving. And even when he was putting the Pharisees in his place, it was probably something where, you know, the common people were hearing that and were like, wow, like he put them in their place and he didn't lose his temper.
Well, here's why I think it's important. Like most of the time, revenge is associated with what's right. And there was no one that could be more justified in revenge than Jesus.
Right.
But he left us an example of very mild responses to anything. I mean, closing his mouth when we would be yelling, you know, turning the other cheek when we would be lashing out. I mean, all right. Those things. So again, how much more muted should our response be to wrongs than Jesus's when we probably had a lot to do with why our wife's mad at us?
yeah, exactly. Well, and speaking of why our wife is mad at us, I mean, I think that's another big one. I mean, the teaching of Jesus on marriage.
It's just an example.
No,
this is not, it's not my personal life.
No, I'm not trying to get into your personal marriage, but I think the teaching of Jesus on marriage and the permanence of it and what it ultimately represents, right, which is like Christ and the church and the love that Christ has for the church and the submission that the church should have toward Christ, like that, when we fulfill the teaching of Jesus there, like we're a fool for Christ because the world says, you should get a divorce. Like you should get an attorney and make sure your interests are represented, right? You need to make sure things get split up 50-50. You need your share of the custody or whatever it is. Like Jesus is like, no, you just work it out. You just be loving, like give it all to your spouse or, you know, love and serve that person as the object of your love, even when that person may not deserve it or people in your sphere of influence may be telling you do something different.
Well, let's bring that home, right? So for Jesus, you know, when you think about that kind of mentality, man, it's such an opposite mentality from the world.
Exactly.
The world pretends to have everybody's best interests at heart.
Right.
But it doesn't take long to figure out, really at the core, is everybody getting what's theirs?
Right.
And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in that same situation where it's like, we've tried to work it out. And now that we've tried for a minute, it's every man for himself. And yeah. I got to take care of me.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if you hear these dumb divorce commercials on the radio, it's like, hey, man, and this on a sports talk channel, you know, it's like, yeah. Hey, guys, you've tried, but now you just got to protect your own interests,
right.
Which typically involve your financial means to do so, you know,
right.
And it's like, you've tried everything, but she still wants out.
Right.
We're here to help you get yours,
yeah.
You know, and it's just that mentality. Like Jesus doesn't say love until,
yeah.
Or, you know, you be kind unless. It's always this finality,
yeah.
Of these character traits. And I've got to continue in those in spite of those things. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say those are the only times those things really matter. Love only really matters when you've been pushed to the brink.
Yeah, when it's the hardest to do it, it's the most powerful when you demonstrate it. And that's why Jesus on the cross is like so compelling.
Yeah, sinners love people that are good to them. But it's when your wife has lost all affection for you, the husband has been so mean to you, like that is when love is the most valuable because it's the least deserved. But that's yeah. When Jesus would give it.
Yeah, and that's when it's the most powerful. But that's when the world looks at you. It's like, you're nuts. Like, you're just dumb.
Yeah.
You're just, like, God didn't create you to be your spouse's doormat. Well, I mean, there may be a sense in which that's true. But if we do what Jesus did, you know, Jesus said in, what is that, in like John chapter 10, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. When he says I lay down, like what I see is him like laying down to be a doormat. And that's hard, but I think that's right. That's true.
Let me clear up some misconceptions here that I think some people get just on this topic. I think a lot of times people look at these situations and say, you know, I'm unjustly treated, I'm unfairly treated, and Jesus just wants me to deal with it because it's the right thing to do. I want you to appreciate that wrong is being done. Like when Jesus was kind and loving, these people were guilty and going to go to hell for their sin.
Yeah, they were not vindicated in any
right.
of it.
And your action of showing kindness and love is in no way saying, this is how a marriage ought to be.
Yeah.
You just need to deal with this. This is what we signed up for.
Yeah,
you know, till death do us part. No one by your actions are saying that these people are absolved of responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. I think in a lot of those cases, it's not that you're justifying their misbehavior and you're not enabling it. You know, some people are like, well, you're enabling it by putting up with it. No, that's part of how you show true selfless love. And that's how you can break through the barrier of an extremely hard heart that a spouse might have because of past failings.
Well, and that's what Jesus says to us, right? Or,
yeah.
Or God commends to us.
Yeah, exactly.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's meant to touch the heart.
Yeah.
And when someone sees you and your godliness, they might be won without a word by your good conduct in an ungodly relationship.
Yeah.
But don't think for a minute we're excusing your husband of the way he acts.
Right.
By asking you to continue in things.
Right.
And no one's saying this is good or right or you should just put up with it. Or even that. They shouldn't be held accountable and try to change. I know
yeah.
Sometimes, man, people run this fine line of like, how do I sit here and put up with it when I'm the only means they've got to change? Like, I need to call something out at some point.
Right.
Like, you can still lovingly encourage them to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, Christ is going to call us to go further in relationships than the world would go.
Right.
To do things the world would never understand.
Right.
And ultimately, to just trust God to reward those that entrust their soul to a creator, you know, by doing good.
So. Ooh, yeah, yeah. First Peter.
It's your favorite, man. Had to
yeah.
go give a plug to Peter.
Give a little shout out.
A little shout out. All right, well, that's two. I mean, what's another bold way you can just be a straight up fool for Christ? You said you had some more.
Well, I think in talking to people about Jesus, kind of like the evangelistic spirit. But I know when we went to Jamaica a few years ago, there's a lady there that Kelly and I connected with. Her name is Amy Hammond, and she just had the spirit to just talk to anyone about the gospel and just showed like the light and love of Jesus. And like, I remember in Jamaica feeling like, man, we are fools for Christ. I mean, we're here, we're trying to talk to these people. Some of them may want to listen. A lot of them probably don't want to listen. We were trying to get kids to come to these vacation Bible schools and we're trying to teach them. And I feel like we were like in this hot, like outside open air classroom with kids that were trying to get to pay attention. And I mean, just a lot of the work that we were doing. But Amy was someone that always impressed me as being a fool for Christ, because we'd go into KFC, and the KFC there is not, the quality is not the same as the KFCs we have in America. There? They have a KFC there. The chickens, I think, they spend a lot of time on a treadmill, like running from the chicken farmers.
It's a different chicken.
They're pretty lean.
Okay.
They're pretty lean. They're not, well.
It's still fried?
That's enough. Yeah, it is. It's fried.
That's all I care about.
No, well, it is. It's fried bones.
That's it.
But like, she just walk up to someone, you know, in a Kentucky Fried Chicken and, you know, start talking to them about Jesus and, you know, faith and hope and light, you know, all these positive spiritual things. And, you know, we had some good conversations, some good connections and things where, you know, we have an opportunity to have a study or have someone visit us at the church. And, you know, I just remember, you know, thinking like, you know, this is part of what I think it means to be a fool for Christ. Like talking to other people about the gospel, sometimes you don't know how it's going
to
be received.
Well,
and a lot
going
of times
to another
it's
not country to talk to people about the gospel. Like most of the times when I know people at work, they go to Jamaica, they ain't talking about Jesus.
Are they like, going to like a sandals resort?
That's yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
There were several conversations about the type of adult resorts that I'm like, for sure, nobody's mentioning Jesus here.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
You know, so, but for you to take your time, you know, people to go do things like that. And again, it's not just Jamaica. It's not just our church. People over the place are going to these far-flung places just because they love Jesus and they love people. Yeah. And who would do that?
Yeah. And it's not just going to some other country. I mean, you can have a conversation with someone here. You know, you can be an example at work, and that might be an opportunity for you to have a conversation. But having any conversation that glorifies God or lifts up the name of Jesus in a way that you know, gives the world an opportunity to respond one way or the other, thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, a lot of times it is a thumbs down. And then, you know, what are you? Well, you're just a fool for Christ. You know, we're trying. Many times we're doing so in a very imperfect way and not in the absolute sense in which Jesus did it, but we're taking baby steps to be like our master.
Yeah, Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11, to this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, poorly clothed, roughly treated, homeless, and we toil working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless.
Yeah.
When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We've become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. I don't write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. I mean, so he's like, look, nothing about this looks smart.
Yeah, right. And that was kind of my second point on like not retaliating. He's like, when we are reviled, we bless. Like, anything that happens to us negative, we turn around and we are just giving something 100 positive.
Yeah. And so I want to encourage people in this podcast, like, to appreciate how foolish Christianity seems and to go out and live your dumbest life for Christ.
And I would just say, can we please, anyone, everyone, all, you know, maybe we do have more than two listeners. We joke about that, but all 10 of you, like, can we do something that is foolish in the world's eyes to be submissive to Christ in a way that will bring him glory? Because like sometimes, like we're arguing with people sometimes, like, can you just come to church? Like that's not even what we're talking about. Like showing up to church is like, that's like bare minimum. Like, what I'd like to encourage any and all listening, like, let's do something that really is a step out of the comfort zone. to follow in the footsteps of Christ, which is not just going to church or just, you know, reading one chapter of your Bible per day. You know, I mean, I'm not saying those aren't good things. Those absolutely are good things.
No, but they're like basic things.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of like the 101 stuff.
Yeah, Jesus is like, lose your life and you'll find it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Give your last two mites and you'll have more stuff in heaven.
Yeah.
You take the last seat, you'll get the first seat. You be your servant. You be somebody's servant and you'll be exalted. Like all these things, humble yourself.
Yeah.
Under the mighty hand of God.
He will exalt you at the proper time.
So like all these things that are opposites, like live those out. And we do such a good job of that at Mountain View. I think time would fail me,
yeah,
like the Hebrew writer said, to try to just talk about all the good things that everybody's doing. But I just want to share one the other day is I'm talking to Miss June. She's got, you know, pneumonia, double pneumonia.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like, all right, well, I'm gonna take her some soup. And I call her. And she's like, oh, you know, that'd be sweet. You know, Katie Douth had already brought me some soup.
Nice.
You know, and it's like every time you turn around, people are doing good things.
Yeah.
And it's not just one person doing 100 good things. Like, it's everybody.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. And, you know, we went and took Mark and Denise some food,
yeah,
when they had COVID. And then next thing I know, like, Rusty's like, well, me and Brian Simmons went and fixed something on his mailbox he needed to fix too. Like, you know, when you're leaving somebody's house, somebody else is coming.
Right.
Because they're wanting to do good stuff. And again, it might not sound like much or seem like much, but you take after work, the handful of hours you've got left sanity.
Right.
And you devote it to go drive and serve somebody.
Yeah.
Like, and
fools for Christ.
You guys do that. And like, your kids will remember that.
Yeah.
They will think this is normal Christianity.
Right.
And if they go to another place where people aren't doing that, they're going to be like, this is dead. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, we got to fire this up or go somewhere else.
Right. And so make it normal for everybody to be a fool.
Right.
So that it seems normal instead of being like so outlandish. Like,
right,
just make it to where people appreciate it.
Yeah.
That it's expected to be, right, a fool for Christ.
Yeah. And we have to, I think, at some point or periodically or on a regular basis, raise some eyebrows, right? And Jesus did that when, you know, his whole life was kind of this ministry of foolishness in a lot of ways. But he turned heads, he raised eyebrows, and that's why 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. We're trying, you know, however feebly to mirror out the character that he exhibited.
Yeah, and I think when people live that out, like, Jesus is glorified and people see that and they see there's something different here, even in Christian circles,
mm-hmm,
that we're not seeing in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And you're experiencing some of that too, as people come and they worship and they're like, well, I might not have affiliation with the Church of Christ, but I like what's happening here.
Yeah.
And there's nothing miraculous happening.
Yeah.
And you look at the building, there's nothing miraculous at the building. Like, it's the people who are living out those values of,
yeah,
this is, people are going above and beyond,
yeah,
to do some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember a new couple that came to us, Butch and Karen, like the day I got COVID, and
oh,
I couldn't,
yeah,
preach, and it was announced. You know, I always got COVID,
oh,
like,
right,
on a Saturday, and,
oh, yeah,
you know, having to preach.
Yeah, yeah. Ty, can you preach like 30 minutes from now?
They show up at the door. They had a cake. They were like,
nice,
here you go. It was the last thing I tasted for weeks.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
That just stuck with me because, like, they don't know me. It's not like, you know, we're family friends from 30 years ago.
Right.
They just wanted to show the kindness of Jesus.
Right.
And they went and did it.
They were hoping you would get back healthy so you could preach again and they wouldn't have to listen to me.
No.
Because they told me, I was like, look, he's got to get better soon.
Well, here's the best part. Like, if I remember, and it was a lot of it's hazy now, if I remember, like, they were so new, none of the kids knew him. And so, like, Asher answered the door and I'm like, who brought us this cake? Who gave us this cake? And he was like, I don't know.
I don't have any idea. Were they already gone and you didn't even get to talk to them?
Yeah, they were gone.
Oh, nice.
So it was
they didn't
just,
want the COVID crud.
No, but I mean, it's so great that it's not who he would even expect it. Like, yeah. I don't even know these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are showing up with stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And the less you know, the less reason you have. You know, it's easy for friends to hang out. It's easy for Christian families that are friends to hang out. It's hard for people to go, demonstrate the Spirit of Christ for people that you don't know, even if you are Christians.
Yeah. One thing I want to say real quick, this is back on Katie bringing Miss June some soup. Just know this, you don't have to like be the best like cook to make someone something. And that soup example reminded me of Gary Sandusky. That there was a time when he was going to visit someone that was sick, and he took him this bowl. He was like, I made you some soup, and he handed it to the guy. And the guy was like, Gary, you dumbhead, this is water. He was like, it's not water, it's diet soup. And it literally, he had heated up some water and taken it. And he was just showing the guy, hey, I care about you. I love you. They had a good laugh about it. And, you know, I mean, probably wouldn't be best if you took June some heated up water. But that's just the kind of spirit that we should hopefully have to just do whatever it is we can do. Maybe you can't cook like some, I think Katie made us some soup when we had COVID, and it was like this really delicious chicken noodle stuff. And she had her daughters like write us a little note, and like, we just felt like we were the center of the universe.
That's just
for
Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, there's a bunch of people doing stuff like that. And,
but if you can't do that, whatever you can do something, and kind of, you are a little bit of a nut, but like, you're showing someone that you care. And that you're thinking about them and you're praying for them and you want to encourage them, even if you can't like make some five-star, like a real soup.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys, at the church, and I appreciate anybody that would put their life in Christ first and put Jesus on a pedestal that he deserves. And you do that by sacrificing your time, your money, your efforts, working through things that were hard, like Todd talked about, not retaliating or showing evil for evil, but, responding with good. That's Christianity.
Yeah.
And I hope people look at that and see Christ living in us. And when they do that, that's what it's all about. I'll leave you with this story. So the other day I mentioned that we went to Freedom Mill and they got this little arcade in there. And you probably went to arcades when you were a kid.
Oh yeah.
You ski ball and you win some tickets and then you go up to the counter and you get, you know, a Tootsie Roll or whatever it is. Well,
that's something generally pretty lame.
Yeah. Well, let me explain to you exactly what happened here. So we have 15 kids that all have tickets because a bunch of us went up there, and there was this one little girl working at the counter, and where everybody was trying to figure out with their six tickets what they wanted to get, she was like literally the most smiley, patient person I'd ever met. And at the end of it, Anna was just like, this is just wild. Like, how is she still smiling? Because right now I'm mad at my own kids. Like, make up your mind, get a blow pop,
something.
Whatever. And I finally asked her, you know, as we were walking out, I was like, I got to know, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
And she's like, yes. You know, and it just, you know, regardless of where she goes, what she thinks, I mean, the bottom line, there was something different about her.
Right.
That there's no explanation other than Jesus.
Right.
And I mean, I would have been shocked if she's like, no, I'm an atheist. You know, they're just, you can just see the Spirit of Christ in people. And I want people to see that in you.
Yeah,
and come to God, not to glorify you because of your works, not to pat you on the back because you did something, but ultimately see Jesus behind that and glorify your Father in heaven. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's right.
That's part of being fools for Christ.
Yeah, right.
Not fools for me. Like, this is all about Jesus.
That's right.
So don't forget that when you go on your good works crusade, at the end of the day, which not letting our left hand know what our right hand's doing, and do it to God's glory. And
that's right.
You know, maybe we should like edit out anything we said that we did, just to do, we'll go back and edit that.
That's true, but there's also Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that, just, we need to emphasize that point as we close out. I mean, the intent is to glorify our Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah, well, all those things are good. Todd, thanks for your time. Glad you're back. And looking forward to next week's podcast already. Let's be fools for Jesus.
Let's do it.
Nothing is more being a fool for Christ than you sitting in my basement in the dead of night when you could be doing anything else.
The podcast definitely might be some self-fulfilling prophecy here.
just straight fools. Thank you again, and look forward to worshiping with everybody soon.
Yeah, God bless.